Once again, Merry Christmas. Good to be together. Good to be together tonight. This past July, I had an experience that I will never forget. My daughter Rebecca and I had a chance to go, just the two of us, on a trip to the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. We went there for about 4 full days, and it was just an incredible trip. A trip that I will never forget. And we saw everything that you could see at the Kennedy Space Center. We went on every tour you could go on. And there were a couple of experiences from that trip that I'd like to share with you tonight as we gather on this Christmas Eve. One of the places we had a chance to visit was the actual launch pad where Alan Shepard was launched into space, who was the first American launched into space, the second human being launched into space. And I remember that. You may not, if it depends what your age is. But it was the early 1960s. And I remember as a young boy watching the reports of that on TV and seeing that rocket launched and the flames coming out of that rocket as it took off and the flames beating down on that cement pad from which it was launched. It was this incredible experience of Alan Shepard, you know, representing in some ways all of us, being launched into the unknown, launched into the beyond, launched into the unfamiliar. It was a symbol of humanity's kind of desire to go beyond what we know and learn what there is beyond us. I'll never forget that launch. It lasted only 15 minutes. 15 minutes later, Alan Shepard landed in the Atlantic Ocean. But it was the beginning. It was the first step of many steps of space exploration. So Rebecca and I had a chance to stand on that cement launch pad, and it was like a holy place for me. All the memories came back, and just realizing what this place was. And Rebecca and I have pictures of us standing there. We took pictures of each other and then asked people to take pictures of us. But I remember standing in that very place where literally the rocket flames had come out of the rocket, standing on this pad, which is now kind of deserted, but it remains as a place to visit. And I stood there and just looked up at the sky and just said to myself, this is a place. This is a place where humanity began to look beyond. Began to look beyond itself and reach to the unknown, reach to the unfamiliar, and with what we knew, try to reach out to perhaps what we don't know. It was an incredible time, an incredible experience, and I will never forget it. We also had a chance to visit some of the other launch sites, the Gemini program, which eventually was launched to prepare us to travel to the moon. We got to visit the launch pad of the Apollo program, the Saturn V rocket, which is just an incredible rocket. There's a building at the Kennedy Space Center devoted just to the Saturn V rocket. And you could spend a day, you could spend a couple days there. It's worth going to the Kennedy Space Center just to see that rocket. And you may not understand what I mean by saying that now, but if you ever go there, you'll understand. So we got to see where the Apollo program is launched from, and that was part of the space program, part of NASA's attempts to get beyond the Earth and reach to the moon and eventually land on the moon. It's the same launch pad where the shuttle flights are launched from today, and one of those sites is now being converted for the future of space exploration, which is the Constellation program and the Orion and Ares rockets that will be launched to go beyond the Earth's orbit, to once again go beyond the moon and beyond. It's an incredible, incredible experience to see these places and to realize in many ways what it represents in our own humanity, this search for the beyond, this search for the unknown, this search for the unfamiliar. We also had a chance to tour a couple of other buildings there, and we went to one building where they were making the in my own language, the things that would be going up in the space shuttle. My daughter Rebecca would have a better description of those things, but the things that would go up in the space shuttle. And on the wall, there was a quote that it just struck me. You ever see something and you just stop in your footsteps? And I wrote the quote down to make sure I get it correctly. But it was a quote by Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, if I pronounced that correctly. He was from the early 1900s, long before we even were flying. He had dreams of space exploration. And the quote on the wall was this: "The Earth is the cradle of mankind, but one cannot live in the cradle forever." The Earth is the cradle of mankind, but one cannot live in the cradle forever. It's a great quote. And it just speaks to us of this part of us, this part of our humanity that seeks to go beyond, that seeks to search beyond what we know. And I think in many ways the space program and NASA represents that. Certainly not the only experience in our humanity of that, but it certainly is one. It certainly is one, and it spoke to me and the whole science of that program and the incredible attempts that have been made to continue to further our understanding. So if you just put that over here for a second, what I just shared with you. There's another quote I want to talk to you about. It's from a saint called Saint John of the Cross. Saint John of the Cross is a Christian mystic, a Spanish mystic from the 1500s, who has written some of the most powerful poetry and spiritual writing, I think, that's available to us. His writings are just unbelievable. I'm very much drawn to his writings and have been since my days in college. And he's known for a phrase that gets overused a lot of times, the phrase, the dark night of the soul. You may have heard that phrase. Whenever we're going through something, we always say we're going through the dark night of the soul, which I'm not sure gives full credit to the meaning of that phrase. But that comes from St. John of the Cross. But the phrase I want to share with you tonight is one that I was reading John of the Cross a few weeks ago, and this thought came out, and it's this. He said, "To meet God, you must journey into the unfamiliar. To meet God, you must journey into the unfamiliar." And I remember sitting there reading that and saying to myself, no wonder we have such a difficult time meeting God. We love the familiar. You know, we love to construct our world and think we understand it all. And in many ways, what we do with the familiar is everything that we experience in life has to somehow fit into that familiar, has to fit into how we understand it. And if it doesn't fit, we sort of put it off. We sort of push it to the side. And it's this call John of the Cross has, it's actually in that unfamiliar that we will meet God. And unfortunately, I think, when you think about religion oftentimes has fallen into the trap of dealing with just the familiar. And trying to give us all the answers and define the way things are. And when those things come in that don't fit, we just push them to the side. We don't want to deal with them. And yet, to me, that's not really what religion is about. But sometimes it can become that in our lives as we seek out the familiar and what we want to know and what we want to control. And yet, if we look at the scriptures, what we find in our religious tradition, what we find throughout the Hebrew scriptures, are a people, and all the individual stories you see are a people who are being called by God to let go of what they know for what they don't know. To let go of a place where they are for a place that they are not yet in. To come to know this God in new ways. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah. It's the story of Moses. And in many ways, today, it's the story of Jesus in this gospel reading that we just heard this evening from Luke's gospel. Luke's version, this telling of the story of the birth of Jesus, is so powerful. Luke is telling us tonight in this gospel reading that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, was someone who was born in an unfamiliar room, in an unfamiliar town, in an unfamiliar place, among unfamiliar people. What a powerful way to tell the story of the birth of the Messiah. The birth of Jesus. It's a sign to us of what this Jesus' life was to be about. And if you look at the rest of his ministry of touching people and calling people to newness, to new understandings, calling them out of the familiar, calling them out of their comfort place, into the newness of life that Jesus had to offer. I'm told, I read this actually a few weeks back as well, a scripture scholar said this, I didn't do the counting, but he said that if you look at the four Gospels, Jesus is asked 183 questions throughout the scriptures, throughout the Gospels. 183 times Jesus is asked a question. Now some of the questions get repeated in the different Gospels. 183 times Jesus is asked a question. You know how many times he gives an answer? Three. And we have taken Jesus, who calls us into this new life, and we have shaped a religion that just wants answers. And yet Jesus was someone who was challenging and calling forth the questions, challenging and calling forth people into a new place, into the unfamiliar, to discover the possibilities, to discover the unknown in their lives, and to encounter this God, and to know this God. Jesus invited people into that life, into that journey. And that's the call we have, to move, as St. John of the Cross says, into that unfamiliar. And I think that's who we are as a people. And that, to me, is the depth of the religious tradition that sometimes we forget and we get distance from in our desire for the familiar. It's interesting, in the world of science that we left over here, NASA and the space program and so much, how there's an ability to probe and to ask questions and to learn new things. Now, I'm told, I'm no physicist here, but I'm told if you look at Newtonian physics and quantum physics, it's a vast different understanding of reality. I'm told in the world of physics today that when looking at light, there are questions of whether light is a wave or whether light is particles. And physicists have said to us, well, it looks like it's both, which is a paradox. And yet, physicists are able to live with the paradox of the both this and that. That ability to probe and to go beyond how we know something to a new understanding. Science does it all the time. And I think in many ways we've lost that. Because that's the religious tradition. It's the story of Jesus. It's the story of the Hebrew Scriptures. It's the call to all of us to step out and to encounter God in the unfamiliar. And so I invite you this night, on this Christmas Eve, in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead, think of where you can experience the unfamiliar. Where can you go beyond what you know for what you don't know? Where can we as a community of faith continue to experience that? Being secure that we are part of a community of faith, giving us our foundation and our rootedness to go beyond and to share those experiences and in conversation together learn who we are and who this God is. So as we gather together tonight, I offer you those thoughts about NASA and the Kennedy Space Center. You ever want to go there, ask me some questions, I'll give you some good pointers. The words of John of the Cross, if you want to meet God, journey into the unfamiliar. Let us go forth this day as a people so accustomed to the familiar, but being willing to go beyond and encounter God and know this holiness and the questions we ask in entering into the unfamiliar and know God and meet God and know each other in so many ways. Merry Christmas.